Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. Of course, this Constitution Hour is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. Normally, I do an intro song, and that's become somewhat the norm for everybody. But I just really didn't feel like doing one. So, I guess, you know, kind of jump right into things. I've been having an ongoing debate with several individuals online who are atheists. And I'm not trying to bring out the pulpit and get out the Bible and have Sunday school. But I think the same questions that arise under the debate, does God exist, does not exist, arise under how we govern ourselves and why we have government to begin with. And I think the biggest shortcoming or the biggest problem that we have is that those that believe in God, many, not all, and I'm not passing judgment, I'm just making an observation. Many that believe in God fall into the same trap, the same snare that befell all of the civilizations that are listed in the Bible, all of the history in the Bible, the same trap, the snare that befell Israel, and the same exact trap or snare, albeit for a different reason, that government falls into and that we fall victim to government. All of it is for the same reason. And that reason is that we are not perfect. And being imperfect, we cannot apply the law equally with the spirit of God or with the spirit of justice. We are incapable of making just and righteous decisions because our humanity, our human nature, clouds our judgment. Some fall into an addiction to the power that is exercised over their fellow man. And they become drunk with that power. And that leads to oppression and tyranny. You know, Rod Luke and I have had lengthy discussions about what is the law and what is the purpose of the law. And I was asking tonight, why do we have government? What is the purpose from a societal standpoint of government? And I think that it's somewhat clear, but it's a deeper question in that the purpose of government is to carry out or carry into effect the law. And what is the purpose of the law? I think the law is singular in that the purpose of the law is to provide for a remedy, to provide justice. Justice may not always be what we would like it to be, but that doesn't change the fact that it's justice. And Rod makes a great case here, and I think this is a good point of debate, the will of the people. You see, I think this is where we fall into this trap. If we create government just to carry out the will of the people, then we would have to agree right now with the current administration and the climate that is prevalent throughout our country. Isn't that what's going on? Isn't government right now carrying out the will of the people? Maybe not all of the people, but some of the people. And this is what I believe the founders fully recognized as the fundamental flaw in every system of government that had come before them, with the exception of one, God's government, the government of God, which is a hierarchy of three in one. We cannot, as human beings, apply perfect justice. We're incapable. We're not capable of being perfect. So, should we venture into preemptive law? That is, creating laws and punishing criminals who have not yet made a criminal trespass or transgression on another, but by the appearance of their acts and thoughts, they're going to. Because isn't that much of what we're arguing about? Whether you're identifying yourself with conservatives or Republicans or Democrats or liberals or progressives or socialists or fascists or any other group, you have an agenda. And I think what holds us together as a group is that more or less, we all agree on the basic fundamentals of right. We have a right to live. We have a right to exist. I am, therefore, right? You have a right to live. You have a right not to be infringed upon by your neighbor, which would include a whole bunch of your neighbors getting together and calling themselves a government, would it not? And I think that's really the fundamental struggle that man has had for a very long time. What say you, Mr. Robert Kaplan from sunny Venice, Florida?
Oh, it was sunny, but it was chilly.
Well, I didn't say warm.
It was very cold. It was very cold last night, Ron.
I know, man. You guys might have, you guys probably had to build a fire or something, you know? Either that or get in the pool to stay warm.
I had to break down and turn the heat on and give Obama some money.
Huh.
Well, we're becoming. I tell you who I saw on TV to explain it very well. But let me explain my viewpoint. He sounded like a soft-spoken Ron Paul. His name was Dr. Ben Carson. I don't know if anybody in the chat room heard him.
I have. I've not. Don't know that I've heard him speak, but I know of him. I'll put it that way.
Well, he was at the prayer breakfast at the White House.
Sure.
And he was good. He gave a great speech on what is a fair share of people paying taxes, and he was quoting the Bible 100%.
Yes, okay. I know exactly the speech you're referring to, and I did hear that speech, and I have to agree with it.
And to look in the eyes while he was speaking, and to look at Obama's eyes while he was speaking, and there was daggers in that doctor's dressing room. I looked like he was ready to just jump out of the chair and just, you know.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things you'll find in the scripture that I know to be 100% accurate and true is that the most dangerous weapon that any man has is his tongue.
Oh, yeah.
We destroy people with our words more deeply than we could if we just pulled out a gun and shot them. More often than not. And that's really my point in, you know, tonight's show. Just like my debate with the atheists. And it just, it was one of those things that just kind of, it brought me to one of those, not really an aha moment, but okay, here's your point. And, you know, I've been trying to coax out of the atheist crowd why they're so adamant on forcing or getting others to believe as they do that there is no God. Why is it so important for them to establish that? Because from where I sit, all of the complaints that they have aren't against God. They're against man.
Doubt.
And, you know, I wrote a response and somebody wrote back to me and he said, I almost agree with you, except that man is not responsible for all of these things. The Bible is. I said, okay. And who wrote the Bible? Man? And he said, yes. I said, okay, so where is it you disagree with me? I mean, just because it's our shortcoming. It's not God's. It's not, God is not coming up short. We are. And we demonstrate that when we get together collectively and try to operate a government. We can't get it right. We never have been able to get it right. Because we refuse to respect one another as equals. Doesn't matter if we're black, white, gay, Hispanic, purple, green, orange, cross-dressers, transgenders, none of that matters. We're all human beings. But see, we can't treat each other as equals. We've always got to be busy sticking our nose in somebody else's business because we're not satisfied with our own station or lot in life, I guess. I mean, I don't know. We're all guilty of it, myself included. You know, I try not to, but we do. And isn't that what we established a government for, is to do that for us?
I don't know anymore.
Well, it certainly is what it appears, isn't it?
Well, let's put it this way. If a guy cannot take a sip of water while he's talking, it's a crying shame. And
well,
I
guess my point is that, you know, from where I sit, that the reason that we establish government as societies is because there's strength in numbers, right? So we get a government and we create government to go out and do what we're too much of a coward to do ourselves, and that forces our neighbor to do something we want them to do, or force them to stop doing something we don't want them to do.
Bill Strong, he's got it right on with the immigrants. You know, and all we're doing is he's just taking money away from people to pay off. He doesn't want to just spend because he's not going to change his modus operandi. We all know that. He's going to stick to his guns until we all go Well, we're already a third-rated country. We're already a second-rated country. And when the second sequestration goes through, it's going to get worse. And then we're going to be a second-rate military. Plus the fact we have to pay taxes on people. We the people, have to pay taxes rather for big company, corporate companies, to let people go. We have to pay taxes on that. I have a problem with that.
Robert,
I just do.
I got news for you.
Go ahead.
Who do you think pays corporate taxes?
We do.
Well, exactly. Just because corporations act as a middleman, okay, this is something that I can't get through my mind. People get upset when a company is given tax breaks. Take, for instance, Zuckerberg and, you know, Facebook. We should be celebrating a $1 million or $10 million tax break, because that's $1 million or $10 million in taxes that we as consumers aren't going to have to pony up, which means the cost of services or goods that that company's providing is going to stay relatively low, comparatively speaking. If they had to pay $1 million in taxes, they're going to have to increase their cost to the consumer.
I understand that, Rob, but every time we bail somebody out, someone's putting money in their pocket. You know?
Well, sure. I agree with that.
You know, that's what I don't understand. Every time we bail somebody out, someone's getting $1 billion or $1 million in their pocket. And
well,
we're paying taxes on it.
I agree. And, you know, FT points out, correct, there's no cost associated with Facebook. That's passed on to their advertisers, who pass that cost on to the consumers that buy their products. So ultimately, we're paying that tax. And
exactly.
I think the nefarious thing that is involved with, like, the bank bailouts is we're getting taxed at both ends of the transaction. The government presumably creates the money for the bailout. Actually, they borrow the money for the bailout and bail out the banks, and which the taxpayer is on the hook for the borrowed money that goes towards the bailout. So, I mean, and then presumably the banks need bailed out so that they have working capital with which to lend to consumers. So the consumer is paying to give the bank the money so that the bank can loan the money to the consumer so the consumer can pay back the loan. That's the most asinine thing in the world, and I agree.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and then to hear our president saying we need to get the Secretary of Defense in, you know, I mean, my Lord, he knew he picked bad choices to begin with.
What's the hold up?
Benghazi is the hold up. That whole case scenario just stunk.
Well, that's correct, and here's the issue, and this is one of the reasons why I do the radio show. This is why I've been active in trying to get people to pull their heads out of the sand, to be politically correct here. I used to work for a guy, and he said something that, you know, has stuck with me over the years, and he is 100% correct. People will do what you allow, not what you expect. And as long as we continue to allow our government to do things that are detrimental to our society as a whole and to us as individuals, we will continue to decline as a country, as a society, and the idea that is America will continue to be demolished. And I believe we have Miss Linda on the line from California. How are you, Miss Linda?
I'm doing great, Ron. How are you? And how's Robert and everyone in the chat room? Thank you for taking the call.
Doing wonderful. And if I ever go golfing again, I'm not tearing up the buttercups.
Wasn't that funny? Oh, Lord,
very
that
much.
Was funny. For the love of God, don't swing. That was cute. I can't remember the whole thing, but... So, yeah, if you want to tell it later, that's really cute.
What's on your mind?
Basically, because you had asked what was the purpose of government. And I think when we first started as a country back in the day, it was to, you know, have the roads and the post office and the coining of money and some sort of defense against outside influences, which would tend to harm us. And it has gotten so far out of hand. I mean, you know, I've said it before, but the founders, if they were standing here, I'd have to have a boatload of smelling salts because they'd pass out. They wouldn't know what to do. And then when they came to, I'd have to have a boatload of muskets for them and handcuffs, too, so they could arrest these clowns. This is horrible what we've devolved. And you're right. We have allowed it to happen. But we do fight. Like I said earlier in the chat room, I spent almost my whole day just making copies, printing things out, getting them to my neighbors. I showed this one piece that I had reposted so Bill Strong could see it on Agenda 21 in the local level. I showed it to her, and she was just horrified. She says, "Why are they doing it?" I said, "Because they're evil." And she says, "Well, I get that, but..." I says, "Because they're involved."
Because
they're,
they can.
Yeah, and the thing is, these people from the on high, they're dangling this money because they know the greedy nature of man. All they got to do is shove those millions of dollars in their faces with these public-private partnerships, the NGOs, and all this crap in Italy, and they're going to fall for it because they're stupid. You know, they don't question anything. Not one jot. They don't question anything.
Yeah, and the truth is, the reason that they do all that they do is because they can. So
I know.
The question then becomes, why? Why is it that they can? What's enabling them to do these things that they shouldn't be able to do?
The public, because they don't know either.
Because
why
we're
do you
not
think...
stopping them. We allow it. So, I mean, here we are. And
I'm trying to wake them up. I'm trying.
I know.
It's not for... I'm doing everything, every day. I'm not
this
kidding.
Is
sometimes
why I've been jumping and beating the dead horse since the beginning that, you know, don't comply. Say no.
Right.
That's not acceptable. I'm not doing that.
Right. Yeah, it's to the point where there's a meeting, 2 o'clock my time in the daytime. It's like one of those workshops in Oceanside, and they're going to go through this damn general plan with their roundabouts and their traffic calming, and I'm going to speak. I am not going to sit still for this. They're going to hear me until I'm heard. I'm bringing my timeline chalkboard. I'm bringing it all. I have to explain it to them.
Linda.
Yeah.
When you do speak, I want you to use this line for me.
Use the what?
I want you to use this line when you speak to the people. You want to tell them this is direct from Ben Carson. He said it great. This is what he said. Don't let government think for you. You think for yourself. I've never heard ever tell me that in my lifetime.
Well, that absolutely. You have to. You can't even take my word for it. Just, you know, but trying to get someone to read anything is like pulling teeth with no Novocaine. It's horrible. I go crazy with these people. I've got to spoon feed them. I have to remember my roots and understand that I can't do the Vulcan mind meld. I have to give them the spoon feeding like they were, you know, Down syndrome first graders, because that's the way they act. They are just, they have their heads so far in the sand, I don't even know how to dig them out, but I'm trying they've got to know.
You remember, Linda, when I first came on Patriot Families, when we first started radio shows with Patriot Families, and, you know, I was throwing some stuff out there that had a lot of people kind of confused. And they were asking, why? How? I don't understand. Give me the answers. And I'm trying to explain to people, I can't give you the answers that you're asking me for.
Right.
And the reason why is because those answers have to come from within yourself. When you look at where do I draw the line between what's right and what's wrong when it comes to government, that's a personal question.
Yeah.
And only you can answer that.
Exactly.
Okay? I mean, there's a certain principle that is supposed to be our guideline, and I think it was stated perfectly in our Declaration of Independence. But at that point, you know, it's like the old saying, you got to learn to pick your battles. Okay, so
exactly. What
sword are you willing to fall on?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What battle are you willing to fight? That's
exactly.
A personal question. That's not one I can answer for you. I can't tell you whether or not paying a tax on your labor is right or wrong.
Right.
And for me, I think it's absolutely terrible.
I agree.
Not necessarily that I think paying taxes is a bad thing if that money is being used for a government that's doing what it's designed to do, supposed to do, intended to do.
Right. And that's what happened, you know, with many of us who actually had the light bulbs go off after listening to yourself and people like Philo and Frank Winkle and others. And we started doing our own research, you know, anything that you sent or any links or anything that we could go on our own. I did it even before I met you guys, you know, on my own, just grabbing the books and trying to be discerning as to what I was going to read. And it all starts to dovetail. It takes a long time.
It does.
Like, I used the analogy to my friend. I said, you're right. I said, because when I was 21 and I started teaching small children how to dance beginning ballet, I had to remember that all those years I did it, I can't give the bulk of mind meld. I can't throw it all at them at once. I have to go back to the very, very, very beginning. Baby steps, baby everything, just the way I was taught. It's very difficult to learn, but you know what? I think teachers learn more from their students sometimes than, you know what I mean, the other way around. And
sure. That's
what we need to do. And this is how I'm going to try to approach my meetings with these people and go back to the roots of how I learned about Agenda 21 and how it started to make sense to me. So I'm hoping I get through to somebody.
Well, you know, and to me, this is one of those things that, you know, some of the similarities that we see or that we should try to emulate, okay, in a just society.
Sure.
Some of the similarities that we see from the biblical teachings,
mm-hmm.
we ought to be able to recognize, I think, and maybe I'm just reading the Bible and getting something completely different out of it than everyone else. But the thing I see when I take the Bible as a whole,
mm-hmm.
is that when it comes to the law, when it comes to obeying the rules, we can't. We're not capable.
Right.
And so, the law was given as a way for us to reconcile ourselves to God. The same as our laws today are supposed to be able to reconcile us to our fellow man, our neighbors,
right.
so that we're not a burden and we repay any debt that we may have created through our poor
yep.
actions and bad choices. But just like the law, man was not sufficient. We couldn't live up to the law. And the law could never grant us that redemption, that reconciliation
right.
to God. Had God not intervened and given us forgiveness and a,
sure.
a pathway to redemption,
right.
we would never achieve it. We can't do it on our own.
Exactly. So I would, what I got a lot of, out of it was much of that whole story is about salvation. Because, you know, from the beginning, they separated their spirituality from God, which didn't make him happy. And he kept trying to figure out ways to get, you know, and then he realized that all the actions he took weren't going to work. No one's keeping the law. He had to, you know, sacrifice his son. It was the only way he could do it. So this is salvation. It's much of the Bible, I believe, is trying to get people to reconnect spiritually with him.
And I think that the scripture teaches us that there is no such thing and there is no viability for collective salvation. No such thing.
No, I don't.
Individual basis.
Right.
No, I know that's not what you're saying. That's what I'm saying is that, you know, that part of it is that, you know, this ideology that you could create some basis in the law by which you could have collective salvation is a pipe dream, and I think that's been shot down, and the Bible is the perfect example of that.
Right.
What it comes down to in the end is your personal relationship with your Creator, with God.
Exactly.
And your acceptance of the gift that is Christ.
So when you look at that particular ideology, which makes a lot of sense, you can also transfer that to the way governments think about individual sovereigns, because when you talk about collectivism, you're talking about Plato's Republic, Karl Marx, and so forth, because that's what they believed in,
our
and that's communism. Yeah. And Black Liberation Theology and all this collective salvation and all this nonsense, it's all out of that Marxist theology, and it's not good.
Well, I mean, honestly, isn't that what all of these different ideologies, all these different religions, all these different governments that have been contrived by man, isn't that exactly what every single one of them is seeking to do in one way or another? With one exception. Ours, the original concept, that one that is enshrined in our Declaration, because without that Declaration, the Constitution doesn't exist.
I know. I agree. Absolutely. And I think that, like you said before, the ink was dry, things started going awry, unfortunately, because there are no angels in government.
None. See, and that's the thing, and that's where I make the analogy, and that's the thing that really tickles me with all the atheists out there, that they want to construct this straw man argument about a God that they say doesn't exist. And yet they want to blame this non-existent deity for all the ills of man instead of the other way around.
Right.
That it's the sin nature and evil heart of man that creates this false image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I still try to wrap my mind around blaming a God you don't believe exists for all the ills that you associate with this imaginary God that according to your own statement doesn't exist, which leads me to question whether or not the statement is actually what they believe. And I think Cy covered that on one of the other shows, and I think he had it right. They're full of crap. They know God exists. In their heart, they know. And they're lying, and they're trying to get you to jump into their delusion.
Right, and a lot of it could be what I get from many on the left and the libtards, is this cognitive dissonance. That's one explanation for it, because it's insane. It doesn't make sense. And it can't make sense to people who actually have critical thinking and really know what they believe in.
Sure.
Because it's bizarre, yeah.
It belies logic.
So, and what they've also done, as we've done with our government, is they've, you know, created this false god of government. I mean,
sure.
Look at
it's
time.
A replacement.
Yes. It's a and a nanny state and a, you know, mom and dad and you know, your boss and all the rest of it. It's nuts.
And the funny thing is, the replacement is no better than the, according to them, man-created deity that doesn't exist.
It's
right?
Craziness,
because
I know.
All the arguments that the atheists make against the existence of God, and that, you know, the God of the Bible, this is not according to me, but according to the atheist arguments, is really evil because he tried to wipe out all of creation, all of humanity. Well, is that not what society's been doing to each other since the dawn of time?
Oh,
don't we try to kill each other off on a daily basis?
every
day. And if we can't kill them, let's put them in prison and let's put them under our thumb and make people do what we think is right?
Yep, put them on trains to Auschwitz.
So I'm still trying to figure out how this utopian creation of the atheist world is any better than the one that they claim to hate.
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't read anything, Ron. I swear they don't.
No, they do. They really do. And believe me, they go to great lengths to paraphrase or to quote a former Supreme Court justice. They employ linguistic gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the very same thing in trying to justify their position that they accuse Christians of doing to justify their. The only difference being that they don't rely on God or the Word of God to implement their agenda. They rely on their own logic and reason.
Right. So,
well, Rod.
Yes, Rod.
I have a great correlation for you.
Okay.
Just think of Washington, D.C. as another Las Vegas, Nevada. That's all I got to say.
Well, I don't think Vegas has near as much money as D.C., but hey.
Well, it's basically the same concept, don't you think?
Pretty
well,
close.
No.
I'd say maybe the craps table, at least.
When you go to Vegas, you actually voluntarily part with your money, whereas in D.C. they steal it and then they gamble it.
Yeah, that's true. And at least in Vegas, you do have a chance of winning, albeit a slim one.
And you can walk away from the table.
Correct.
Maybe you can't walk away from the government.
Yeah, you can choose to participate in that gambling transaction.
Yeah, so here's the deal. With the atheists, just looking at governmental history throughout different periods of the eons and centuries, and looking at the Declaration of Independence, the I believe divinely inspired Revolutionary War at that point, and the tenets of the Bill of Rights, that whole idea of sovereigns and individual liberty and responsibility, and then you look and then reading the Bible, just even as a secular humanist and just trying to make the correlations. And then reading about all of the Temple of Understanding, the Club of Rome, the Illuminati, the Communists, the Stalinists, whatever. Cannot a thinking person see that one is evil and one is not? I mean,
well, I think the distinction that many of the atheists attempt to make, and I think they all fail. I'm working diligently trying to get some of these folks to see the fallacy in what they're trying to claim is logic. So it goes something like this: because man has incorrectly used God's law and the word of God as a weapon against his fellow man, a la Islam, a la, you know, the Inquisitions, we could go on and on. Because man used God as an excuse to do evil things to his fellow man, God, therefore, is bad. However, because the atheists don't believe in God, they don't have to worry about making those same mistakes, because they're going to rely on the logic of man.
Oh, boy.
Which is the same logic that misconstrued the Spirit of God and used it as a weapon against people. I'm sorry, I don't see the distinction. You're all still a bunch of evil bastard humans who want to dictate to the rest of society or the world how you think things should be based on your opinion.
Exactly, and we could see that.
I don't see that being any different.
This has been throughout history with the Spanish Inquisition and the witch hunt on both continents.
Yeah.
You know, these are the actions of evil humans, not the Lord. The Lord doesn't like this stuff. sorry. Doesn't approve.
Right. And you know, let's look at it honestly, and now that we're sitting here talking about this, this is a question I'm going to pose to the group when I'm done with the show. Because one of the things they love to bring up is they claim that our government is supposed to be secular. Okay, well, let's presume for the sake of argument, it is. So, how many human murders can we attribute to secular government versus a theocracy? Who has a bigger tab? Who has murdered more? Men murdering in the name of God or men murdering in the name of men?
Well,
killed more? Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao,
yep.
Hitler, Che Guevara,
okay.
All the revolutionaries, or
mm-hmm.
the Islamists and the Christians and the Catholics? I think that's a worthy debate. I think it's splitting hairs because it presupposes that all those that were killing in the name of religion were doing so at the direction of God.
That's not
true. I don't believe that's accurate. I believe they were using God as an excuse
to do
just
their
like
own
socialists
evil
use
deeds.
Their excuses and Marxists use their excuses and
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. It's all a bunch of excuses, and we all know what they say about excuses.
Yeah. Well, wow.
No, it's just an excuse.
Correct.
Yeah.
And to from where I sit, the whole purpose of using religion as an excuse to do evil is so that, at least in the eyes of society, you're blameless. You as the monarch or the deity or or the government that's carrying out all these terrible acts.
That's a pretty ingenious lie, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a joke for you guys.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
A pair of jumper cables goes into a bar and asks a bartender for a drink. And you know what the bartender said to the jumper cables? I'll promise I'll give you a drink if you don't start anything.
Yeah, don't start anything.
I want you to tell that buttercup one. That's really cute.
Oh, gosh. So, Robert, these two guys go golfing, right? They're on the 18th fairway, and Jim hits his ball out into the woods, and he's out there looking for it, and he finds it resting in this patch of buttercups. And so he's thrashing around trying to hit his ball out of this beautiful patch of buttercups, and he just demolishes all the flowers. And he finally hits his ball out, and poof, there's this big cloud, and there's a little old lady standing in front of him. Well, of course, he's taken aback, and he says, "Who are you?" The lady says, "I'm Mother Nature. Do you know how long it took me to make those buttercups? You know, from now on, you're not going to have any butter for your popcorn for the rest of your life." And the guy says, "Now, wait a minute." And she said, "In fact, you're not going to have any butter for your toasts for the rest of your life either." And he says, "Now, hang on." And she said, "Fine. You won't have any butter for the rest of your life ever." And she, poof, disappeared. He was really dejected. And he's walking back to the golf cart, and he's looking for his buddy, Frank. And he says, Frank, where you at? And he said, "I'm over here in the pussy willows." He said, "For God's sakes, don't swing your club."
Oh, God.
For the love of God, don't swing.
Don't do it, man.
Don't mess with the pussy willows. That's pretty funny.
That was funny.
I have another one for you. It's the same version, but it's different. A neutron goes into a bar and asks for a drink.
Well, you got to be so negative, Robert.
And you know what the bartender said to the neutron?
No.
There's no charge for you.
Like I said, why do you got to be so negative, Robert?
Am I that negative?
No, no. Oh, negative charge, positive charge. Anyway, never mind.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to be positive through all this stuff. It's hard to be positive.
It is, but, you know, at the same time, I think it's easy to get very frustrated. I know I do. And at the same time, we cannot allow ourselves to lose sight of living our life every day.
Right.
Being thankful for all that we have and all that we don't have. Be thankful
exactly.
that we don't have everything that we desire. You know,
yeah.
I mean, some of it might look good, but you never know.
Like
so, you know, and we just can't miss out on living our life every day. We can still be upset with what's going on. But in the end, there's only one person that we can account for. There's only one person that we can answer for, and that's ourselves.
And one person we have
true.
To answer to.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a puppet of the government.
Well, and neither do I.
That's,
and I think this is the point that Christ made, right, in saying that, you know, take the beam out of your own eye before you pick at the speck of sand in your neighbor's eye. If we would all concern ourselves with our own life and trying to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, the rest of the problems would take care of themselves.
Pretty much. Except, you know, when it comes to things I'm dealing with on the local level, I still feel I should at least warn people.
Absolutely. I'm not saying you shouldn't. What I'm saying is because we don't all practice that would be every man, woman, and child on the planet.
Right.
Here we are.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Why I'm fine. Yeah, I
right,
know.
And that's why we fight, because we recognize that in the end, you know, it's all about someone else trying to dictate how we should live our lives.
And I think that what I'm doing is, throughout this whole my whole journey on this deal and trying to figure it out, is I'm trying to connect those dots and look at the founding principles of sovereignty as an individual. The God-inspired word, that's where they got most of this, you know, that there's 10 Bill of Rights for a reason, because there were commandments. These guys weren't stupid by any stretch, you know, and to try to bring this forward to some common sense, tiny, limited government, which I would pray to the Lord every day we could have in a poof, you know, instant, but and try to get people to see this, to just at least a glimmer of what it should be, and how, you know, how the injustices of people on the left and, you know, the Fabian socialists and the rest of them and the eugenicists like Ted Turner and all of them want to do to you. And to me, that's an injustice, and I'm not going to sit still for it. That's just kind of me.
Well, you know, and you can almost, well, not even almost, I can sympathize with a lot of people feeling angry and wanting some kind of pound of flesh for our past transgressions. You know, the other night I was watching a little bit of television, and they had a thing on the History Channel all about the civil rights era, the late 1950s, the early to mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was, 3 years old when Dr. King was assassinated. And, of course, they're only presenting one of the story, I recognize that, but to see it in the stark manner in which it was presented, and not having lived through that time, my God, it is absolutely, without a doubt, disgusting the way that we treated one another, the way that we treat one another to this day.
I know.
And simply because someone looks different than us, there was hatred, and they were less than human. And it's inexcusable. There's no excuse.
I must say that I was so happy that when I did start learning about that period more so, because I was a teenager and, you know, there was nothing on my mind but trying to get B's and score for the the latest dance I was, you know. but not looking back and reading on it and everything that Martin Luther King stood for when he went through his peaceful marches, he would not allow his people to become violent. And there was a method in his madness. He says, let the cameras roll and the public will see the truth. We are not the violent ones. They are. And it worked. It absolutely did work. And he was absolutely correct.
It did,
and I think
but
there was even a deeper meaning. You've got to go the way of Gandhi on these things because, you know.
Well, you sure. Know. And I think, you know, now as we look, not the same level of racism, I guess, for lack of a better term, but certainly racism all the same, being practiced by those who were oppressed and who were the victims of the racial hatred of that time.
Mm-hmm.
That animosity, that same level of hate is being cast upon our current society.
Right. In
and
reverse.
That's why everyone will jump in line to punish the rich guy.
Or the white guy, or the Christian, or
you know, the rich guy is predominantly the white guy, and the Christian, and so it's the same thing. It's kind of turned on its head, and I've talked
Absolutely.
About that before. That I think that many within the minority communities are becoming that which they claim to hate.
I know.
And,
it's
you know the very thing that they were fighting.
Right.
During
they're
that
becoming.
Time is the very same thing that they're becoming.
And
perhaps
they don't,
in a bit different context, right, but they don't see it that way. And why not? Because we fool ourselves into believing that we are justified. We rationalize our behavior. And it really doesn't matter what excuse we use. It's still an excuse.
Still an excuse.
Yep.
I know you're running out of time. Are you? You're just doing an hour tonight, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you did a great job, especially the first part. And thanks, Robert, for calling in. And that was great. And I'll see you back in the chat room. God bless.
God bless you. Thanks for calling in, Miss Linda. You know, I realize that I don't have all the answers, and I don't know much. In fact, there's very little I do know. It's really true, Robert. I mean, if you stop and think about it, what is it that you really know? Okay?
I tell you what I know. I went to PetSmart today to take my dog to the vet.
I didn't know that.
And I took the girls out to lunch. So, you know, we sat outside and had cheeseburgers, you know, in Sarasota. And one of the waitresses goes to me, is that your daughter or sister, referring to Kathy? I take that as a compliment, because you know what she said? She looks just like you.
Only taller.
Huh?
Only taller.
Oh, yeah, oh my Lord.
Well, you know, I know that the longer I'm alive, the more I try to see everyone around me through different eyes, and I try not to be offended or hate anyone. I do try to stimulate. I try to stimulate conversation because I like to get people to think, and if I can get them to think about some of the really horrible things that they say that they may not even realize they're saying, whether it's through words that come out of their mouth or through their actions.
Whoa.
You know,
maybe
I can have some small, tiny little victory in that I have created something positive. You
well,
know?
I hope you find it, Ron. I hope you find it because I haven't found it yet. I just haven't. You know, we had a long discussion on human nature, you know, when I told you I lost faith in human nature, and you
sure.
said, I can't blame you. Well, it's just like, I wish my cousin, my cousin and I always wishes each other a happy birthday. Every year. Well, this year was different. This year, I wished him a happy birthday, and I never heard, he always returns his phone calls. So I called him up, I said, well, you don't return phone calls anymore, you know? And he goes, you just wish me a happy birthday. I'm not obligated to return your phone call. Wow.
Well, that's true. He's not obligated.
I know, but, you know, after all these years.
You know, I think the best thing we can do is, especially with family and friends, is just to let them know that we care about them, that we love them. Whether it's their birthday or Tuesday or Friday or President's Day or any other day. I think too often we get so caught up in our own little battle or our own quest or our own obsessions that we forget to do that.
Well,
and,
I try. All you could do is, my uncle had a great saying. And this saying was, if you don't try, you ain't worth a damn. And he's right. All you can
Absolutely.
Do is try. That's,
well, guys,
that's
we just got a couple of minutes left. Robert, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for calling in. And, you know, guys, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and being a part of the show, all the listeners out there, everybody in the chat room. Mr. Rod Luke, Doc, Miss Linda Sills, FT, we got a couple of guests listening in. Just really want to thank everybody for tuning in, and you know, don't lose hope. And instead of maybe getting angry with someone, maybe try a different approach. And you know, stand up for yourself, and don't let people do you wrong.
That's
regardless of who they are. God bless you guys. Tune in here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for the Patriot Family Chat, and Wednesday night for Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast. And I'm going to leave you out with a song that I think is appropriate. Thanks, and God bless.
God bless, Rod. And everyone.
Banish me. my fear in perfect love.